And we'll cue in and see if it's recording. And welcome to the Avance Podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Nick.
Looking really comfortable over there.
In the spirit of trading places, I went to Arizona and Dan stayed home this time.
How was the Jet Setter planning and creating
going? Good. We got a lot more cars, a lot more jets this year. Unfortunately, this will come out after the event, but I will make a post to in the Avance to people. But I'm down here doing a Jet Center event, which is a great charity for Angel Flight and things like that, for, you know, helping people that have, you know, medical issues and stuff like that. And got 20 cars and waiting on some really cool jets. And it's 90 degrees down here, and I don't like 90 degrees, but in Scottsdale. But yeah, there's a lot of good cars that are out and about. Like I said, we usually do this event in February, so it's a little bit colder, but it's warm. It is warm down here. But the good news is the house we rented has a pool. So that's where I'm headed next after this. So yes. So yeah.
Nice.
But I was jealous of you spending so much time in Arizona, and I just decided to, you know, just run down here. So yeah.
Well, I'm jealous I'm not there still.
Yes.
90 is a little much, but it's great with a pool. It's perfect with a pool. So
yeah. How you been?
Gilly, it's been extremely busy, you know, getting back into the swing, but that's not a bad thing. Boy, just getting back to the house project, getting back to the shop project, got the cars washed when I get back, and
nice.
Got to get the window tinted on the new truck, and that's about it.
That's good. When does it go in for full S-Tech here pretty soon?
It's going to need that pretty soon. I haven't scheduled it yet just because I've been too busy since I got back. And I don't want to cancel after I do that. So once I get that set up, probably be a couple of weeks, and then, get the S-Tech installed. So I don't have to worry about that. And then S-Tech, of course, for the windows, which would be nice to keep in the heat down in there when the heat does come. And yeah, I'm excited to use it.
That truck is so much bigger than I thought it was. so much bigger. I don't know why the photos didn't do it justice that you sent. So
no, it's a very large truck. I it's a lot to park and move around too. Luckily I've, you know, got the Audi to run around in, so that makes things a lot easier with the S3.
Yeah,
and I'm excited for the Raptor. But I'm hoping to see a 2025 refresh a little bit. There's a few things I hope they fix or change, but we'll see.
For the 2020,
especially cooled seats would be a huge win.
2025 Raptor truck or 2025 Raptor Bronco?
The Bronco Raptor.
Got it. Okay.
Raptor.
Raptor. There is a bunch of those down here. Like there's some people that I know. We're driving along, and there was like four houses I saw with them out parked out front, like ready to go, and like in these little homes. And I'm thinking, yeah, that all the money goes into the Raptor kind of thing.
There's so many places to go off-road down there. If you just drive out 10 minutes from town, it's just, you know, every exit off a highway is an off-road area. So, and that's perfect for a Bronco Raptor or a side-by-side. There's a ton of side-by-sides down there, too. And you can just drive them around, so, because you can down
there
a lot easier.
They're all on the streets
so.
Down here. That's, I mean, it's kind of dangerous at times.
Yeah.
Young whippersnappers, so, yeah. I want to give a huge, 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 huge shout out to last week's guest, Buzz Raz. We had such a great time, great episode, and he just posted photos of the tachometer that I sent with him to have refreshed, and it looks amazing. I cannot wait to get it back, but quick turnaround on that. I really appreciate that, and it was so great to meet him, and I can't wait to have him on the show, and I promised him next time when he's on the show, we will have a beer. So...
All right. Sounds great.
Yeah.
He was a fun guest.
It was
a fun show. He's just a fun guy to be around. That was really cool. We should go over there. He lives over east of the mountains. I would love to go his way.
I've gotten more messages from people after I posted it up on Avance saying it was such a great episode. So,
yeah, he was fun. I hope. Yeah. We need more guests who are a little less guarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put that. Yeah, he was ready to go.
Yeah. Speaking of fun events, you're down in Arizona, but this is the big one. The Avance Classics on the Green is officially announced. Tickets are officially for sale. Chateau St. Michel website, Sunday, June 30th. Early bird pricing is on now. It is a huge event. It's packed every year and gets better every year. So, listeners, you need to take advantage of that as soon as you can. We'll be there, of course. But, June 30th, Sunday, going to be a great time, as always. So.
Yeah, It's a lot of fun. I mean, if you went last year, you know that the Peterson sent some amazing cars up, and we had so many people from the Pacific Northwest bring cars. It was just so cool to see.
Yeah, hopefully I'll sneak the other in the show maybe. Hopefully.
I don't think. Yeah. Well, we know somebody. It's fine. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the Miata Mingle is coming up as well. That's on the 5th, I think, May 5th, Miata Mingle. And as we always say, Miata is always the answer if you don't know. So looking forward to
If
that.
you don't know the question,
May
then
5th,
you
that's in
don't stop
Griot's
asking.
Garage
So,
too.
yeah.
Right, yeah. You know, Toyota Automotive Group tip of the week. So I made the very amateur error of foam washing my car with old soap.
Oh.
And so it did not come out right. It just like just kind of threw soap all over the car instead of foaming it because it like separated. So those things are shelf stable. I know we've talked to griots about that, but you have to shake them up first. And I had to stop after I just sprayed like it just sprayed like a solid stream of gooey soap over the car instead of foam. I was like, oh, dang it. It took me like 10 minutes to hose it off because it just kept foaming up on the car then because I basically put straight soap across the car. But if you're foam washing your car and all your stuff has been sitting over winter, take it out and shake it up. It's fine. Even though it separates sometimes and it looks weird, but it's still fine. It's just all smells amazing and all the Griot stuff still works great. But do that. And then mistake number two is I grab new microfiber, clean microfiber, brand new. But if you don't wash them first, it leaves literal. Like fine microfiber all over your interior. If you do that, kind of like a dust. The Bokosko ones is what I'm speaking of here because that's what I had. And yeah, so you want to take those out. The new Costco ones, by the way, don't have tags, so I think that's fantastic. But you can just throw them in the wash. Throw them in the wash before you use them with no soap. Just plain in the wash, run to recycle, and they will work better. So just so you know, don't use soap though, because they'll hold the soap in the microfiber.
I mean, Dan, I hate to say this, but and they've now released on the market, and I think they're sending them to people for orders at Griot's. But they have the new car wash pods, like where it's just pre-dispensed
Yes.
into a pod, and you can throw it in. So, we got to try those decks. So, I mean, now that your soap is, now well mixed up again, so and cleaning.
Yeah, I'm almost out, so I'm gonna order some of those. I'm actually just gonna go down there
Yeah.
and get some. It's an excuse to go to Griot's, which is always fun. But yeah, I'm gonna use those. I like the pot idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we were talking about the news ahead of this, and there's we're gonna talk about some off-road stuff. Is obviously we're talking about the new Fuller. It's out. It looks pretty great. I think it looks great. It looks like a natural progression of the 4Runner, and it's not a bad thing.
No.
The 4Runner has been popular for that way for a reason. I can't unsee the double mustache grill meme with Hulk Hogan and everybody's posting. That always makes me laugh. But
Yeah.
besides that, it looks pretty great. But the one I want to talk about first is the Fo Fox Factory. So not it's a, in partnership with Chevrolet, but Fox Factory introduces their, I guess you'd call it the Silverado Raptor TRX Fighter, but it's more of a race truck. And this thing's definitely beefier than either of those trucks. 700 horsepower, as expected in this market. We're looking at TRXs and Raptor R. 700 horsepower is kind of the new benchmark. But $200,000.
Yeah, it's pretty
And they're only making like 500 of these things.
steep. I mean, and like I think you said it when you sent it to us initially, they're late to the game on this. Like, and it's not exactly, I think Raptor obviously controls the market. TRX did a really good job of putting up a fight, but Chevy just never really put something together. And this, they I feel like they because they're so late, they got so far. And again, this is not when we say we compare it to the TRX and the Raptor, like that kind of, but I mean, this is a pre-runner built from Chevy. This is like if you went to Fox after buying a Chevy Silverado and said, "I want to run Baja," this truck would do it.
Yep, it's definitely a step above the Raptor and the TRX as far as suspension. You've got the one-up shocks from Fox. I forget what spec they are. They're the 3.2-inch internal bypass shocks, but they're I mean remote reservoirs, the whole nine. These are the step up. If you did these, actually are the same shocks that if you upgrade the factory Fox suspension on a Raptor, you can go to these exact shocks on your truck, and then it's got full wheel billet suspension. really nice. It's got some bunch of interior upgrades. I mean, it's a really clean looking truck. Carbon fiber bedsides, carbon fiber fenders, custom bumpers, all, you know, top end lighting, not the crappy DOT shit that you want to just pull off as soon as you get a new truck, but the actual, like, actual off-road lighting, chase lights. It's got bed mounted spares, 37 inch tires. It's built ready to go. It's right, take it off the floor and run it. Now, I gotta ask the question though. $70,000 more than the Raptor R, $70,000 or more than 75. I think it's TRX lists at like 115 or 120 or something. It's a lot. But is this $70,000 more? Is it worth it? And it, to me, immediately, no. Like, there's, you can do a lot to a Raptor or a TRX for $70,000. You can do a lot to a Raptor or a TRX for $20,000. $10,000 will get you the full upgraded suspension. Another $15,000 will get you the bumpers. You already won 37s from the factory in both those trucks. What, a diff cooler? I just don't see it. It's got, I mean, it's got all the cool modes that the Raptor and the TLX already have. Yeah, you can do it with an app. Who gives a shit? I mean, this just feels way too late to the game.
I think, one, late to the game, and two, this is not a usable truck for the things that you could use the Raptor and the TRX for. Like, you're not going to take your $200,000 Chevy pre-runner and tow a trailer. I mean, the Raptor and the TRX are more everyday drivable trucks. This truck is purpose-built for pointing it off into the desert with no road and hitting the gas. And the Raptor and TRX will do that, but I don't think that you're not going to go to the store in this truck. You're not going to, I mean, the bed is full of two, like you said, mounted spares. You're not going to be able to put a motorcycle back there, things like that. And I was saying before we started this, carbon fiber is great, but I think aluminum fenders would be 10 times better and more easy to fix when something inevitably does happen. Fenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, I just think it's $50,000 overpriced, probably $60,000 overpriced. They did a little bit more, and I mean, Chevy makes a great engine. I'm not, everybody knows the Chevy V8's a great engine, but it's still, I was just like, it's cool, but they're doing $200,000 cool. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I think they could, the engineers could have done a job. I think that, one, they're late to the game. They've already lost because they didn't put something out there. I mean, the ZR2 version of the Colorado and the Silverado are great trucks, but they're nothing close to the Raptor version for the Ranger and the F-150 and Dodge, obviously. But I don't think that they're ever going to, they could have very much built something that would compete with that at probably, like you said, $110,000 to $130,000 range and taken a lot of that stuff that you, a normal person's not going to use. Again, I guarantee you they will sell 200 of these if they haven't already sold them. People will buy these, especially
high-end. It's 500. Yeah, they'll sell them. There's definitely 500 to be sold. Yeah.
Oh, 500. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, 500. Okay. So I just don't think you're going to see them at your local, you know, QFC or Fred Meyer right now. So.
You might in Bellevue. I can see that. But we'll see.
Yeah. Maybe.
Somebody up here will have one, which I hope. Speaking of off-road vehicles you can afford, though, minus ADM will be the new 4Runner after that comes out, and it'll be a great investment as well. The suspected price range for the new 4Runner is like low 40s to like 60, I think, is what the expected for the, what is it, the Trail Max, or what do you call it, the Trail Hunter Edition. And it looks good. It's got a Sunoco factory, it's got nice lighting options, nice wheels, sliders, lockers, I mean, everybody's talking about, you know, it's they axed the let's say the V6 and the 4Runner, that like all of the Toyotas until now were underpowered and awful power plants. They were reliable, but they were slow as molasses, so underpowered. And they went to this iForce four cylinder, 2.4 liter, 270 horsepower, 370 foot-pounds of torque for the base one, but the max hybrid, 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. That's finally some decent, respectable numbers that this thing deserves, because it couldn't get out of its own way before. And then, you know, it's the factory OME, old man EMU suspension, a bunch of optional stuff from ARB and Rigid. Not a huge fan of Rigid lights. I think they're fine. But any of the factory stuff is typically that DOT spec stuff, which isn't anything you want anyway, and nobody cares about. But hey, at least they're trying. But I think more than anything, I think it looks good. Like I said, it's a It's about time. I think that ran the last one for like 14 or 13 years or something stupid, and the dash was, you know, 10 years behind schedule. But, you know, if you wanted a solid, reliable off-roader, you couldn't go wrong with the 4Runner, especially for resale value. So, and it's on a truck chassis, which is good.
It's sitting on the same. Is that the same chassis that the Land Cruiser sits on, and the Tacoma sits on too? Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And not a bad thing. It's weird that the Land Cruiser and the 4Runner basically they kind of directly compete with each other. I don't see like a huge reason to go with a Land Cruiser over a 4Runner at this point, out of style. I mean, besides style, like if that's your thing, but the 4Runner kind of seems like a little more purposeful, which seems a little backwards to me. I would still go with the Lexus. I think the new GX550 is awesome, but that's a lot more money too. You're looking, you know, another $40,000. So,
I think we said it too when they introduced the new Land Cruiser. We said, okay, this is the same size as a 4Runner. What are they going to do? And I didn't know if they were going to shrink the 4Runner into the Highlander side kind of thing, but they seem very comparable. And I think you're right; they are definitely competing with themselves. The one thing that threw me off is I watched all the press releases, and I've watched a ton of the off-road guys that were at the press release. There are 9 different trim levels for this new 4Runner. And that seems, I mean, this, I mean, and I started, I thought, that's kind of weird. And I looked at the Tacoma, and there's 6 or 7 for that, and including Trail Hunter. It's a lot. Like I said, I don't know. I miss the days like you had your base model, you had your middle model, and you had your top model. And in the middle model, you could put enough stuff on it to come up to the top model kind of thing. But again, I think that 9 seems a lot. I don't know. That seems like, unless they're saying 9 globally, and we're only going to see 5 or 6 here.
Yeah, I think it's 9 for the U.S., though. And the main market for the 4Runner, I think, is the U.S. Is yeah, it? So okay. It's kind of interesting. I think, I mean, they'll sell as long as they can build them. And I like the simplicity that you're talking about, but at the same time, if they can keep up with demand, you know, post-COVID world where people can click, I want this and order it, which that would be the great way to go. I wish they would just do that. Like, let me click my options and click buy. They'd probably sell more. But I think to get back to the Land Cruiser a little bit, I think Toyota really missed the mark here because the Land Cruiser should have competed with the Bronco. If they were going to take the Land Cruiser back and do a throwback Land Cruiser, that's really where, I mean, if you think of Land Cruiser, go way back. Remember when the Land Cruiser was competing directly with the Jeep? Like, do that, because that market is begging for more competition. The Bronco's great, but, I mean, yeah, you would definitely get me cross-shopping into Toyota if they made a performance variant of a Land Cruiser that would do the same stuff. I have a little bit more faith, I think, in Toyota to build a better product than Ford. Not always, but I mean, I wonder what the results are now, because I've had pretty good luck with my Fords over the years. They've been fine, but still,
there's some reliability is going to be your biggest thing, and I think Toyota wins with reliability.
Yeah, either way, resale's pretty good on them. Broncos are starting to sell in the lots, though. Sales have come down quite a bit for everything right now. The market is shifting quickly. We've been talking about this for months that we're starting to see it shift, but it's really starting to shift quickly now. Stuff that used to be ADM or nothing is now no longer getting it. People are getting, I mean, you can go on the Bronco forums and find Raptors pretty much just sitting on lots, which is good for me. I don't think that'll be the case for Toyota with the new 4Runner or the Tacoma. Right now, because everybody's, you know, when you put out a new model after, you know, double-digit years, people tend to be pretty excited about it. Nissan, GTR, hint, hint, poke. But, I don't know, I'm hoping to see competition pick up in the performance category. I don't know why it hasn't, I guess. I'm surprised, I mean, I understand Dodge not making the TRX because of the engine, but it seems like there's a GM still missing the mark after all this time. Seems like Toyota still is too. The Raptor is one of the best-selling, best-value-holding trucks on the market, and right now it has no competition at all. Zero. If you want a performance truck, you buy a Raptor, you buy a Raptor. That's it. And it feels like GM and Dodge and Toyota are really missing the mark here, because they all have full-size trucks. Half-tons, that is.
I mean, I'm seeing a high performance version of the Toyota Tundra. It's such a big truck, but then again, I think Raptor's a huge truck. So, but you're right. They have the availability. Chevy and Toyota does, but and especially with the TRD, the brand, they've done so much with it with Tacoma and 4Runner that they really could do something there, big and bad and fun. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that they've let Ford control that market. I mean, Ford pretty much controls the truck market as it is. The F-150 still being the best-selling vehicle, let alone truck. And then F-250 being next, so I'm surprised.
And truthfully, I mean, speaking of controlling the market, I mean, Ford's doing it on other brands too. And the fact that the Ranger Raptor is being compared, obviously, to the new Trail Hunter, and I think it's going to beat it. I do. I think even with the new looks and stuff like that, and the fancy new stupid carbon fiber shock seats that Toyota is trying to push on everybody. Which I don't. Which I mean, I'm saying it now. Everybody's going to order those. Nobody's going to get them because they're going to be. There's going to be an issue. It's like, you know, I don't. I could be wrong, but I don't
No,
think
I
they will
actually
be.
think you're right. I
So.
think I'm the idea of suspension seats is not new, obviously. It's been around forever. Seeing a production vehicle is really cool. It seems like over-engineered, looking at from what I've seen in the photos. I'm actually really anxious to try them out to see if I can feel the huge difference. The seats in the Raptor are really good for that. The Bronco Raptor as well. It's a very comfortable interior on both of those, and so I'm curious to see if the Toyota can do it. I wonder what the Ranger will do. But even off-road electronics, though, has proven like Toyota really nailed it with the KDSS and the crawl control, and KDSS with crawl control when that first launched. It didn't make lockers obsolete by any means, but it made traction available to people who have never used lockers before and would break things if they did. Toyota's crawl control actually works really well to get you unstuck, and Ford has and Chevy and everybody else has adopted similar systems since, and they work equally as well. I mean, my Raptor off-road was almost unstoppable in most conditions until it high centered. Like I just didn't have a ground clearance sometimes, but the traction modes were shockingly good. And I'm assuming the Ranger will do the same thing, or Ranger Raptor. They've been proven to be good competitors. Have you ever in your Land Rover, your parents, what was the Discovery Sport? What did they have?
Yeah.
How well did those work? Because they were also really Rover was really known for really good electronics. As far as like
Stupid
functioning,
well,
yeah,
actually.
functioning. When they worked really
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So.
It worked stupidly well. Something I didn't actually expect it to work well. That cart unfortunately didn't spend a lot of time in the woods, but when we did, in fact, we took it to a Land Rover experience over in Tahulia. Is that how you say it?
Julia.
Tahulia? Yeah. And it had all the modes, and it really did a great job of transferring power around and getting you out of situations. Ground clearance was a little bit of an issue, but it was, I mean, it did surprise, like, I mean, I remember talking to my dad about that, and I was like, we were really surprised some of the stuff that we were able to do that I never thought we'd do or even try. So, and obviously it's Land Rover at the end of the day, but still.
Yeah, I was gonna say, speaking of trucks and electronics, stop sale order on the Tesla Cybertruck, beta testing and prod again. I have to laugh. The unintended acceleration on that. So I looked into this. Basically, what happens is the pedal cover on the accelerator pedal comes off. It's not securely attached to the rubber pedal underneath, and so it comes up and then it slides up and it hits underneath the. Like some trim, I think it's carpet, not a floor mat, but like carpet as it goes up, and it basically sticks the accelerator down. Now, in almost any vehicle now, if you excuse me, any electric vehicle, if you hold the brake down, it'll cut the acceleration. It won't do both at the same time because of the regenerative braking. So if it did that, all you do is hit the brake, and you could figure it out pretty quickly and turn it off. But I could see how people would freak out because that's given in the rate of acceleration an electric vehicle puts down, that could be a real problem. That it Tesla's build qualities and simple things never cease to surprise me. That seems like something they should have thought of early on to like maybe secure the pedal cover with be more than adhesive. So things like that just shock me that they get through. Like, what a place to skimp, put a screw in it.
I was going to say, all it takes is one guy at the end of the line with a tube of liquid nails just to dab it. You'd be good. So, I was gonna say, like, if you haven't seen the reports, like, they've stopped delivery. People are bringing them back. I mean, there's that factory down in Texas. They have, I forgot how many outside. You know, it's they're gonna need to solve this fast because there's a lot of people that have been waiting. I mean, how long? Like 4 or 5 years, if not more, for
Yeah.
this truck.
I mean, shoulder you test the Roadster, I guess, but at the same time, I like seeing them driving around. Like we talked about this a little bit. I do think it's ugly. I think it does look like kind of like a weird refrigerator or a kitchen appliance. But at the same time, I like that it's out there. And I like that they just did something completely off the wall. If you want something really different, you have that option because I'm just so tired of cars looking the same. And so I'm kind of excited still every time I see one just because it's like, oh, that's really different. And I don't get that from most cars. Most cars, it doesn't matter what it is, they all just look like a variant of another car. Even if no matter what performance trim it is, it's always some variant of the same Audi Accord, Toyota standard basic car design. That it's like, how do we make them mildly different? You could mash them up into one photo and nobody could tell the difference. So it's nice to see something that is really off the wall, and I wish more people would do that. I wish they would do it better than Tesla, but I wish more people would do that. I think that's why I like McLarens.
Yeah, you want electrical issues? Yeah, go
Because
to McLaren. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't have electrical issues in the ones I do. If I had trim issues.
You had trim issues that which were probably there because the electrical stuff wasn't held together right. I am noticing I've seen a couple of articles out of Europe where a lot of the European companies are encouraging car companies to stop doing so many screens and things like that and have more tactile things, and because it's obviously the distracted driver stuff, which is, we've talked about, I've even talked about even in my Subaru having the eyesight stuff and all the screens, it's very distracting. I think we all want the technology, but I think, in fact, Dan and I were talking about this before we started the episode. Like, that's one of the reasons I really like the new Land Cruiser is they brought back a lot of the really tactile buttons and pulls and things like that that make it feel vintage. But I think they can still bury the technology in the car and not put a hindrance on the driver from, the idea of taking your heat and actually turning a knob is still likable to a lot of people.
That's actually we were, there was an article, I think it was on Jalopnik or something, about what are the your favorite dash designs. As the people have really, I think a lot of manufacturers have just plain gotten lazy, and luckily this trend is sort of going away of just tack an iPad on the middle and call it a day. And then have another screen for your dash. It's two wee screens. In some cases that's nice. Trucks are pretty good about not doing that, but a lot of cars aren't. But the R8, the second gen R8, is fantastic at this because there is no screen except for the one on the dashboard, and then it's just basically three buttons in the middle for your climate controls. And so the only person who has a screen is the driver, and that screen is very driver focused. And so it's the most minimal, but also, I love the design. I love that it doesn't have a touch screen. I love that it has CarPlay and Android Auto, but it's done through the dial. And so you pretty much just let your music go, and that's it. And you can put in directions if you need to, but you basically use your phone for that, and then you just focus on driving. It's very driver focused, and I loved what they did with the design. I wish more manufacturers would do that because I really enjoy driving it because of the lack of distraction. Corvette did a decent job with, if you sit in a C8, even though it has multiple screens, they're very focused at the driver. It's still kind of a cockpit overload. They could have done it all. They could have gotten away with not having the center screen. And now that I have the R8 and they've driven it a lot of miles in it, I appreciate it more and more because of the way it really helps you focus on the road and it really engages you as a driver. A lot of cars just don't anymore. It's like they're designed to be as close to your living room as possible with wheels. And I get kind of tired of it. I don't want to feel like I'm at work when I'm in my car. And it's often, oddly, that's what it reminds me of, is I've got multiple screens I got to look at, multiple places I got to monitor. I don't want that anymore. I just enjoy the drive so much that I want to keep that to be what I'm focused on. It's a lot of distraction, like you said, and I didn't realize it until I got into a car that didn't have any, because it's been so long since I've had a car that didn't have any. And so it's just like I have the map up on the dash when we drive the R8, because then I can see the curves ahead like we're used to on our back road drives, but that's it. It's like just go and point and shoot, and that's fun. think a lot of people, if they grow up now driving and they're into, you know, and even economy cars have multiple screens. You know, if you got a Prius being an example of like that, if you're used to just having a commuter, nothing on, then I think the new Prius is actually looking pretty nice. It doesn't want to admit it, but it is. You're not going to get that experience. And that's one of the things people are missing is they're not. That's, I guess what I'm shifting to is saying that, like, we focused on making the car another place to be, like an actual, less of a car and more of like a, almost like a living situation. You get in and driving has become the secondary thing in a car, which is really weird, but that's how it feels.
I mean, I think there's a lot of safety issues with that. I mean, obviously, you look at, if you're a movie buff, all the movies we've seen in Minority Report and crap like that, and people that just get in an autonomous car and drive around. Heck, I mean, I didn't see one here, but I mean, how many videos do you see on the internet of everybody getting into the Jaguar Google cars here in Phoenix that drive you around with no driver?
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of them. You'll see them. Yeah,
I'm fine with technology. Yeah, I'm fine with the technology for it does that, and obviously they're proving it works, but. The more stimulation you have inside the car, especially at night with all the lights and things like that, it's very distracting to be, you know, to drive. And maybe that's just my age showing in the fact, you know, like,
well, no,
you
it's
half the time, you know, in the Triumph, I can barely get lights to come on the dash, let alone. So,
no, you're right. I think it's not your age. It's at no point in our experience, people don't know how much of your focus was outside the car. Now you have a lot of lights. You're looking at a lot of lights close up. It's not natural to drive and look outside the vehicle when you have all these lights. But I dim the dash way down on the truck when I drive. When I was driving back across the country, I mean, I had hours at night. And so I had the dash almost as dim as it would go because it's at night when I'm out in the middle of nowhere crossing the highways, like when you're in Eastern Washington, I'm looking for deer. And so I dim the dash way down to do that. I did it on the way when we left at 4 a.m. too. I did enjoy my massaging seats, I'll tell you that right now. That was really nice in a long time. that's an option I definitely spoiled with and enjoy, but excuse me, the ones in the folder are better, by the way. We should probably put together a list. I think Lotus does a good job of this. They're really driver-focused. They've always been driver-focused. They're really minimal cars. McLaren has the, if you look at their dash, the 7 Series, where it pops down. Yeah, and it goes down into that driver's mode where all you have is the tach and a little speedometer, and that's it. I love that. Give me that.
Lotus, definitely Ariel Atom is very driver-focused. I think you barely have any gauges. I don't even know. Do you have a gas gauge on that?
Yeah, you do. I'll
have to ask somebody about that. And I'm trying to think of some other, like... Well, I mean, you have to go back. Like, I think you almost have to go back to, like, classic cars to get just, you know, a classic tach. And
well, they didn't have the option.
I mean, Porsche does a deep... Some of the older Porsches, like, not older, but, like, I'm saying, like, you know, pre this version of the Porsche had some really good stuff as far as... They didn't have massive screens in the middle. You had a little screen that showed your radio and stuff like that, but everything else was that classic Porsche dash or gauge cluster with the four overlapping... rings.
Yeah, even the new Porsches, though, even with their digital dash, they have the tach is the fun center in the display. They did move the display higher on the new 992. The Boxster, I think, actually has a better interior. Boxster and Cayman actually, I think, have better interiors than the 911, in my opinion. I just think they're simpler, which I think is better. Even Lamborghini, though, has a ton of colors and bright lights. They're real flashy on the inside. Ferrari actually does a good job of this, though. Ferrari has very minimalistic interiors.
Lamborghini has gone that way ever since they introduced the Urus, because the Huracan, the last few variants, they actually got a screen in the middle. Instead of a full screen, like a full iPad, like you were saying. And they had the digital, they obviously had the digital gauge clusters and things like that, so... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to become, I think we've gone a little too far past I think we need the technology. We need the safety technology. We need obviously we need our massaging seats. Those are the important
absolutely
things, the cooling seats. But, all the other stuff as far as, I don't need to watch movies on the front screens. I don't need, you know, I think you brought up a very good point about the R8. I think that was something that I really latched onto when I saw one of those cars when they first came out, and all the things you could do in that little bit of space that Audi put there. And it's very visual. It's very easy to read. It doesn't take your eyes off the road. It's sort of, I described it once as heads up, but it's not heads up. Like it's because the where you sit in the car and where the dash hump is in front of the wheel, it's right there where you don't really have to take your eyes off the road to be able to see the GPS and or speed.
Yeah, it's really just a glance. It's a really good design for not having a heads up display. I think I'm going to make that. I'm going to pose that question to the listeners when I post this episode up. Yeah. I'm going to ask people. I would love to see your favorite dash. Any year, it doesn't have to be a new one. I'm curious what your favorite new ones are, but I would love the listeners to tell me, like, show me a dashboard I should like. You think is really great or that you really enjoy. That's a fun one. I do want to see your tech too. I'm going to go look. I haven't checked Instagram much today as far as personal feeds, but
insane. Absolutely insane. Like, as far as I knew he was going to do a wonderful job. Obviously I've seen his work, yeah. But I have just like, he's right. I mean, I don't even know if I want to put it back in the dash, cause I think I'm going to want to take everything out first. I think it's just,
here's the rest of my gauges. Good luck.
Insane. So yep, pretty much. Well, I know after seeing this, he's talked about it in the podcast too, and he's right. If I put the tachometer back in my dash right next to my speedo, it's going to be so blaringly obvious that one of those has been touched and the other one hasn't. It's just, it's insane. So, yeah.
I love it. I love a Classman. But he knows how to deliver. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you ready to get back to work down there? What do you have to do to prep? I know this will be over by the time we air this, but what's been going on for Jet Center?
Yeah, it's a very long story, but we have a plethora of alcohol that was shared with us and has been donated, and so we've been going through that. And I'm getting ready to set up the hangar, get it all cleaned up tomorrow, get all the drapes up and things like that. We, you know, because if you've ever been in an airplane hangar, it's full of tools and things like that. We got that all covered up. Got to get everything clean. Make sure finalize the list for cars. We got a couple of cars that are coming. There's a rumor that we have 1,000 horsepower Chrysler coming. We know it's coming, but we got to make sure how to get there. So I'm really looking forward to that. And basically just kind of controlling a little bit of the chaos. We've got some wonderful vendors on board and some wonderful sponsors. So it's just a little bit of rest tonight and then back at the hangar tomorrow. It doesn't go together easy, but we got a great crew. So, yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the photos as always. I know Mindy's down there and going to be working, so.
Yeah. 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 Shout out to Mindy. She's our photographer and does everything on our web stuff, and she's great. If anybody's down in Arizona, they should definitely come. If you're not coming this year, definitely come next year. So come by and say hi.
Yeah, it's a good time to go visit Arizona anyway. It's not, 90 degrees sounds like a lot, but that's not that hot for down there. That's like a nice even temp for Phoenix and Scottsdale. So it's before the 120 degree summer that's coming. I don't envy that, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm covered in sunscreen right now, so that's the next thing on my list is to go shower. So,
yeah. All right. Well, don't get burned. Kate will need you back safe. So,
yep. I need to be. Yeah. But believe me, I have to shout out to Kate. Like, I usually pack like a guy and just throw everything in my bag, and like she helped me organize everything. I have things I didn't even think I needed, but I definitely need. So, you know, big shout out. So,
she's a good one. All right, man. Yeah. Well, have a good time down there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for this episode of the Avance Podcast. As always, I'm Nick.
I'm Dan, and don't just get there. Enjoy the drive.